God alone, God above all. Living our faith and practicing in the day-to-day, I think there's not a Christian that hasn't experienced frustration about prayers not being answered the way we ask them, life being difficult in spite of the practice of our faith, even faithfully each Sunday in regular prayer. The sufferings of this life constantly disappoint and can discourage us. But I think a large part of why so many of us struggle as Christians with this is because we haven't made that radical choice that Christ calls us to in today's gospel. You must love me more than your family, more than your friends, more than your very life. You must choose. And that choice isn't just one and done at baptism and confirmation, or at marriage or ordination to the priesthood. It's a choice that we're forced to make every day, from small things to greater things. Who do you love? Christ's demand is a radical one. If he is God, then we can have no other. Nothing can compete with him. God above all. But as Catholics, oftentimes we worship many gods. We don't call them God, but it's our work. It's our spouse, our kids. It's our vanity. It's our money. We don't call them God, but we live like the pagans, honoring different gods of ours, depending on convenience and preference at that moment. What do I mean? Well, for example, a child in school, as I experienced, your peers are all cheating. The temptation is to cheat as well. It's easy to do. Everyone's doing it. Why shouldn't you? And you must make that choice. God above my grades, or my grades above God. You cannot do both. You cannot break the seventh commandment and worship Christ as God. Or you're with your peers and they start spreading gossip and calumny, speaking horribly about another student. And not only do you stay silent, but maybe you add a little or you laugh to encourage them. You cannot break the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, by destroying the reputation of another and have Christ as your God. You must choose in that moment. Or you're at work and you do the bare minimum. Or you have someone punch in for you early when you're not there and late long after you've left. Or you take things from work, especially significant things or money. You cannot both steal and have Christ as God. You must choose. Or someone wants to move in with you and they will not marry you in the church. And so you must decide, will it be him or her or God? Because you cannot break the sixth commandment and worship Christ as God. You must choose. Every day in our world today, Christians are even choosing between life and death or Christ and worshiping him. Today, Christians, under penalty of imprisonment or death, are going to Mass in Saudi Arabia when it's a crime. Today, Christians are risking their lives in the Middle East, sneaking off to a hidden Mass, lest they be killed for their faith, risking literally their life and limb just to do what we're doing right now. In Cuba, they're risking support from a communist dictatorship that will take away everything from them, including basic food, if they choose to marry in the church and receive the sacraments and practice their Catholic faith. Today, in Nicaragua, bishops and priests are being imprisoned and tortured and disappeared for simply being a bishop or a priest. Today, Christians, thousands upon thousands around the world, are choosing to risk their very life just to do what we're doing here. In going to Mass, they're making a fundamental choice. God above all things. I love Christ more than my very life. The question is, do we? When opportunities, or rather temptations, present themselves, where we know we would be breaking God's commands because we drink too much, or we miss Mass for a Broncos game, Or we miss a Sunday Mass because my grandkids had a party Sunday morning. I could have gone Saturday night, but I didn't. We have made a fundamental choice. My children above God. My game above God. When we choose to sleep in, my rest, my exhaustion before Christ. If you love father, mother, brother, sister more than me, you are not worthy of me. If you do not pick up your cross and follow after me, you are not worthy of me. This is a radical call. And too often as Christians, we live in the middle. We kind of hedge our bets. Well, let me do this for work, because if the whole religion thing doesn't work out, at least I got some money to live it up when I retire, before I die. We hedge our bets. If this religion thing isn't real and God isn't true, at least I've got friends on this earth. By compromising my faith and going with them to do drugs, to drink too much, to gossip, to slander, to cheat, fill in the blank. We've made our choice. And Christ knows that if we choose him above all else, there will be conflict. Your family, who wants you to choose them over him, will be angry. But we have a party now. What do you mean you have to go to Mass? I'm a Christian. It's Sunday. I go to Mass. I'll be here after. Or I went last night. Or I'll go early this morning so I can be there for your party. But I'm going to Mass. Oh, come on. We need you to help here. God alone. God above all things. What do you mean you're going to Mass? We're going out on the weekend for a trip into the mountains. Well, there's a church 30 minutes away. I'm going to drive there and come back. I'll join you for camping, but I'm going to Mass. What do you mean you're going to Mass? The Broncos are playing. It's opening day. Well, I went to Mass last night, so yeah, I'll be there at the game. Fine. Or I'll be late. God above all things. God alone. It's a daily choice we have to make. And when we make that choice, inevitably we're going to lose friends. We may lose our very marriage, which isn't a marriage in the church. Or if it is, only because our spouse is constantly abusing us emotionally and verbally over our faith and the practice of the faith, then we separate. But if we follow him, we will inevitably have a cross to carry. Jesus has said time and again, if they have treated me this way, they will treat you the same. And it is better to suffer for Christ than for our own sins. Because people can simply hate us because we're a jerk. Because we're really mean. Or we're very hurtful. That you're not suffering for the faith because of that. In that case, it's just because we're being a jerk. But when we're doing what is right and good, and others are angry at us for doing so, mock us, make fun of us, blessed are you when they persecute you and malign you and say all things, evil things against you because of me, your reward will be great in heaven. I remember when my friends would go out on the weekends and do things that were against the commandments, and I said no. I'd come back on Monday, oh, how was Mother Teresa's weekend? Hey, St. Francis, how were you? Right? We did this, that, and the other. What did you do? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that I can suffer for your name and for your glory. I choose you above all things. Because in doing so, we lift up our dignity in a way that sports and popularity and money and sex and power can never do. We're complete. We're whole. We have a dignity. We have a purpose. We are ultimately a disciple. And God will bless us for it. It is his promise. He says so as much. Even if you give a cold cup of water to someone because he is my disciple, your reward will be great. When we choose God above all things, the Lord will bless us, but we must choose. Not one and done, but every day, throughout the day, in the face of every temptation, God can bless us if we remain faithful. And it does not require that we be a great prophet like Elisha. You can be a freed black slave woman with no family, no money, no children, and no home, and still bless someone. The servant of God, Julia Greeley, our parishioner here at Sacred Heart who was baptized, whose image is behind me, went into a home to clean here in Denver. And as she was cleaning the home, it was a young couple. And she said, where are the children? And the couple told her, we lost two of them at birth. And we don't know if we're going to be able to have any more. And as Julia continued cleaning, she saw images of Mary and Jesus, and she asked them, "Are you Catholic?" And they said, "Yes." Julia continued to clean, and she prayed. And as she finished up her work cleaning their home for a meager salary, she said to them, "One year from today, you will have a little boy running around this house." And she left, just like Elisha did to the woman of influence who welcomed him and was hospitable toward him. She said, "A year from today, you will have a little boy running around in this home." I believe that's the boy in her arms in the picture there. The simple, humble disciple of Christ blessing others. When we put God above all things, we can bless others. Christ tells us we can move mountains. Julia Greeley could prophesy and bless people with the gift of life and children. But ultimately, the decision lies with you and me. Who will you love above all things when the next temptation comes? When the next struggle that urges you to compromise your faith, break the commandments, who will you love? Because if we love anyone more than him, we will not be found worthy of him on the day of judgment. That's why today Christ urges us to make the decision that in all things and in every decision, God above all else, God alone.